Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
You have probably driven by downtown Greens for years and years and not known a lot about it. That was my situation until last week. And we're going to talk about downtown Greens today and an event they have coming up this weekend. Sarah Perry is with us, the executive director of downtown Greens. Sarah, it's good to have you on the show this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
I knew nothing. I knew there were two things. I knew that when you're coming into town and you're located in the building with the big flower on it, mm-hmm. and you've got the area right across the street there. That was all I knew until we got together on Friday and you kind of gave me a little tour of downtown Greens. Talk about what you do, and I guess first of all, we'll start off. Downtown Greens has quite a history.
Yeah, it does. Just I'll place people real quick. If you haven't seen the House with the Flower, or you don't know exactly where this is, we're on the corner of Charles Street and Dixon Street in downtown Fredericksburg. So if you are at the train station and you're heading down Route 2 South, out of town toward Dixon Park and Mayfield, you will see our big building, or it's a regular size building with big flowers painted on the side, big echinacea flowers, and that will be on your right as you're heading out of town.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those landmarks just because it's that big flower, and this is an anniversary year for downtown Greens.
It is, yes. So this is our 25th anniversary, and I'll give you the quick history real quick is that Laura Shepherd, one of the co-founders, lived in the house that now has the flowers on it. She was renting this house, and she decided to start cleaning up behind the house. There was a little property, and it was kind of the corner, the end of everybody else's lots, and so it ended up being just pretty much a trash heap where people would just throw stuff over their fence into this piece of land, and then there were briars and tires and all kinds of other things, unsavory things. And so she just started cleaning it up, and then she started planting in it, and kids started coming around, and she became a master gardener, and her and Lisa Beaver began this as a nonprofit. And at first it was just behind what is now the headquarters building with the flowers painted on it, that it was just behind this building. And little by little, they raised money and got the plots, all of the different, there was about 7 parcels back behind this building that we own now. And so little by little, they acquired those parcels. Some were gifts, some were very reduced price parcels. And that is what we call the lower garden. And then I don't have this number here, but I think around 2000, mm-hmm. The parcel that is across the street, that is the actual corner of Charles and Dixon Street, it's Dixon and Princess Anne Street, what we now call the Upper Garden, that came up for auction. And Downtown Greens was one of the people who were interested in buying the parcel. Another, from what I'm told, I was not around at this point in the organization, but from what I'm told, there was one buyer who wanted to turn it into 16 townhomes in that plot. And then I also have heard that someone else wanted to put a 7-Eleven on that corner. So here we are. Ended up winning the auction, and it was the person who was going to put the townhouses that talked to our folks and said, if nobody else outbids you, then I won't outbid you. And so the bids went up. And then when Downtown Greens got to their highest bid and nobody else outbid them, this other person who could have easily outbid them did not, which we're so thankful of for that gift from this person today.
Yeah, that piece of land on that corner, and we'll get into all that goes on there. But boy, you know, as you talked about what could have been there and what is there now, you know, what a gift it is for Fredericksburg and for the city to have it there.
Yes, I agree for sure. It is definitely a gift, and it's one of the last green parcels on this side of downtown Fredericksburg. So we're very thankful.
Now, and you were telling me that there's an easement now on that will always be for all time now, that green space.
Yes, that's right. We have a conservation easement with Land Trust of Virginia, and that space is protected in perpetuity through them. So yes, it will be green forever.
I did not know until you took me over the lower garden area there. It's what you just you go from walking over and on the sidewalk, you go back into that area, and it's just quiet and shaded, and this time of year is just a great place to get away.
Yeah, it's just so green, and right now there are lots of flowers blooming, and yes, it has a very different feel from the upper garden. And so, like you said, most people, if they know anything about downtown Greens, you know about the upper garden, mm-hmm. probably, because it's more exposed. It's kind of right on that corner, right near Hazel Hill Apartments. And so when you're coming out of town on Princess Anne Street, you have to stop right there across the street from it. So a lot of people have seen that part, but the part that's really, I mean, I like both sides, but there's something magical about the lower garden. It's really, it's more enclosed. Like you said, it's quiet. It's very green, very shady.
Yeah.
In the summer, it's a fabulous place to be because it is very shady.
It's just, you're back there and you just think this is the kind of place that the books are written about, you know, some, you know, there's something magical because it really is. It's just, I didn't even know it existed. And you go back there and it's really will draw you in.
Yeah. And we try to have all of these different types of seating areas back there. We have picnic tables. We have little kind of just table and chairs. We have open spaces for, like, if you wanted to play ball or if you wanted to play frisbee, there's kind of a more open space. There are patios. There are all different levels. And it's a very interesting place to kind of walk around and discover.
Sarah Perry here this morning. She's executive director of Downtown Greens, downtowngreens.org, the website, if you want to check out all the things going on with Downtown Greens. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk about it and also talk about this weekend. The Fork It Over Festival is something that has been going on. It will go on this year, but a little bit different because of what we're dealing with right now. And we will talk about that next when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Sarah Perry here this morning. We are talking about Downtown Greens in downtown Fredericksburg. Downtown Greens is at the corner of Charles and Dixon Street. Sarah Perry here, the executive director. Sarah, the Fork It Over Festival is something that it's a tradition in Fredericksburg this time of year, and it will go on, but virtually this weekend. Talk about what people need to know.
Yes, actually on Facebook Live, we are going to go virtual with all of the things that we love about the Fork It Over, minus some key elements like community gathering and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We are going to have a plant sale online. We're going to have our usual silent auction online, and we're also going to have music. So those are kind of some key elements that we always have, and we're gonna try and replicate that online this year.
It's this Saturday, and it's from 1 to 4.
1 to 4. Yep.
And so this will be on Facebook Live. How, putting something together like this, especially something that people look forward to, but to be able to do it virtually, at least you can do something. That's got to be exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of we've never done this before. This is completely uncharted waters for us. So we're learning a lot along the way. We're lucky to have Oddbox Studios as our knight in shining armor to kind of usher us through this new world of video and audio. Mats Jerndal is the lead guy over there, and he's just been amazing. I promise you, I've been calling him more than anybody else these past few days just to ask him all of these questions about how do you do this and how do you do that. So what we're doing right now is we're compiling all of these videos from musicians, and we're preparing kind of the live portions, and we're going to broadcast this festival this Saturday. So we actually, in terms of musicians, we're doing something pretty different this year. Usually we ask about 2 or 3 musicians to perform at the festival just so we can have live music. This year we asked about 2 dozen of our past performers to do one song, to perform one song in their place of, you know, wherever they're resting in place, and to perform a song and send it to us, and we're compiling those songs. And we have some amazing songs so far, and they're still coming in. They have until today, no, tomorrow, to get all their songs in. But if you want, I can just give you a little sneak peek.
Yeah.
So we have Karen Jonas is going to be performing. Keller Williams is going to be performing. Andy McLeod. Don Brown is going to be showing a performance that he did for the Down Home Ball. Laura Shepherd, who was one of the founders, she's going to be performing. Keith McConnell, Larry Hinkle, Troy Coghill, Shante Irving. I don't know if you know any of these folks, but a lot of them are from the Fredericksburg scene. We also have Alex Harvell, who's going to be doing a spoken word piece with some music that he's composed. So we have a very wide variety of music, which is really exciting.
No, a lot of those names are well known around here. That alone, just a lot of the names that when you were mentioning them, this is going to make this really quite the afternoon for the virtual Fork It Over Festival.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. It should be a lot of fun. We're really excited about it.
Well, and I guess this is describe what the Fork It Over Festival itself. Why you have it? I guess it's an informational and in a time of in a fundraiser.
It is a fundraiser. Yes, it's a fundraiser, and some of the early Fork It Over fundraisers, there was an element of, or the kind of the catchphrase was bring change. And we collected change from people in this big wheelbarrow. And there's this story of all the kids in the neighborhood who were at the Fork It Over Festival driving or, you know, walking the wheelbarrow down to the bank to get it changed in for Downtown Green. So it's really, it has been a community fixture for many, many years here. And it's just a really fun time. Usually we're all outside. It's all, you know, the community, the immediate community comes, more people from further away come. And it's just a time to be together. So that is the one thing we're missing this year, is to be physically together. And but we're going to do our best to be together as a community in our own places.
Well, in so many, I mean, everybody's having to do that now. I mean, you know, there's yeah. nothing going on, but boy, I'll tell you what you've done here, what in your plans for this is pretty spectacular. You all have to be, I would think, you're making the best out of a bad situation, but this is going to be really worthwhile in a fun afternoon on Saturday.
I hope so. Yeah, it's definitely gonna be fun, I think. And I hope people tune in. I hope people tune in and comment and let us know what you're thinking, or even if you have some memories of your favorite Fork It Over, if you just send us a little note or a little video, we'd love to look at it and hear about it and maybe even share it.
How many years has the Fork It Over Festival? Do you know how many years it's been going on?
Oh, I thought you might ask me that. I'm not sure exactly. It didn't start the very first year here, but I do know it's more than 20 years old.
Well, that's pretty significant. I'm sure a lot of people have pictures and things from the early years.
Yes. And we actually, part of what we're going to do on Saturday is have kind of some nostalgia, some pictures from years past and just history of what we're doing here and the Fork It Over Festival and some pictures from back in the day. So
that's a lot of fun, because I'm sure a lot of people have, especially people who've come over the years, or there's just a lot of history with that many years and for as long as Downtown Greens has been around.
Yeah, there is a lot of history. A lot of people have been involved. We're very, very happy and fortunate to have had so many great volunteers and just people come through here and really transform the place and add their special bit of energy and excitement, where it's a place that many hands have helped mold.
Well, and it's so unfortunate that we're in where we are, because when you get to 25 years, this would have been a big celebration with everybody together. But you can do that next year, and you're able to use technology and make it happen this Saturday from 1 to 4.
Yes, exactly. And we're just like everybody. This is kind of the situation with the COVID-19 has definitely kind of put a lot of our things on the side, on the back burner. So we're, like a lot of other nonprofits, we are missing out on some income that we would have normally had at this time. Mm-hmm. And so we're hoping that we just had the Giving Tuesday now, which was great. And that was a fabulous kind of help with some of that, but we're hoping that we can continue that and through this Fork It Over Festival happening Saturday.
I was just going to say that besides enjoying, because boy, the music lineup that you have is pretty special, but also make this a chance. This is a chance on Saturday afternoon to learn, if you don't, about Downtown Greens and get involved financially, because you have programs and you have needs right now that you continue to go about and do what you can.
Right, exactly. We welcome anybody to help us in the financial portion of the festival as well. We are trying to do what we can, like everybody else, and making it as best we can. And we're definitely going to try and have a really awesome, fun Fork It Over Festival. And there are plenty of ways to support us financially during that. We have the silent auction, like I was saying. We have a plant sale. You can always donate in the tip jar. There's going to be a virtual tip jar during the event. So those are all ways that you can enjoy the festival and help out if you are able to.
It's 1 to 4. It will be on Facebook Live. You got a great Facebook page and just a lot of information that we're going to talk about when we in our next segment. But this really is on Saturday, because it'd be so easy just to say, well, we'll come back next year and we'll have our festival like we usually do. But you've really put it together, and just the names and the amount of people just shows how much Downtown Greens means to a lot of people, that all of them are willing to give their time and be part of this.
Yes, exactly. We've always been so fortunate to have great musicians who've always helped us out and other volunteers, and just calling them and how many yeses we got was just so heartwarming, and just it just was wonderful to see all of the musicians come rally forward for us this time.
Well, there's so many things that make Fredericksburg so unique. And this is one of them, because you and I were saying when we were just standing out there the other day, just about to have a green space like this in the downtown, and just kind of a way where you, especially if you work downtown, just a place to kind of get away or just at night, just walking around, just a place to walk to that's just a little bit different. We're really lucky to have something like Downtown Greens in that part of town.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we have students who come and study there. We have this one couple that just sits there every day. We see them every day in the afternoon, sitting on the benches in the upper garden. They just enjoy being outside, and they just sit there, and they, you know, sometimes they'll be on their phone, but other times they'll just be sitting there outside here listening to the birds chirp and just watching the world. And we're here for that. The space is here for that as well.
Sarah Perry is here. She is the executive director of Downtown Greens. Downtowngreens.org is the website. Again, the Fork It Over Festival this Saturday on Facebook Live from 1 to 4 to celebrate all that goes on at Downtown Greens. When we come back, we will talk about what goes on at Downtown Greens and how we can all get involved. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's coming up on 8:30 this morning.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Sarah Perry here this morning, the executive director with Downtown Greens, downtowngreens.org, the website, if you want to check that out and jump on that and learn more. Also, their Facebook page, and especially Facebook on Saturday, Facebook Live, the Fork It Over Festival from 1 to 4 that we will talk about again before we get out of here this morning. Sarah, what got you involved in all of this? How long have you been at Downtown Greens?
I went to Mary Washington College when I was there. It was Mary Washington College, the University of Mary Washington. And I met Laura Shepherd, who was the director at the time. And I don't know even how I met her, actually, but we met somehow, and I started volunteering, and that was about 10, 12 years ago.
Okay.
And I just would volunteer when I was in college, and then I went away for about 6 years, and I kept volunteering whenever I came back into town. I would always stop by and volunteer at the garden. And then when she decided that she was going to move on to something else, she suggested that I apply for the job, and I did. And that's how I got to where I am now. And that was about 6 years ago. I became the director here, the first non-founding director. So I had big shoes to fill.
well, let's talk about what Downtown Greens is all about, because, again, I think a lot of us, we drive by it, we see it, and we sort of think we know, but we may not know that you've got a lot of programs, and you really are very community and kid-focused.
Yeah, so the very first thing that we do that I like to tell people that we do is that we maintain an organically maintained and sustainably maintained green space. And the space is 2.8 acres total between the upper and the lower garden. And it's a space that's open to the public from sunrise to sunset every day of the year. So anyone can come and have a picnic or read a book or study or play ball or, you know, whatever you want to do in the garden. Sunrise to sunset, it's open. So it's kind of like a park-like space. I think the first question you asked me when we first started talking is, how do people get plots here? And we do not do the plot system. We don't do the system where the quote unquote community garden, where someone will buy a plot at the beginning of the season and grow their vegetables mm-hmm. in that little square of ground. There are other ones of those around town, and I wish I could tell you how to get in touch with somebody about that, but I actually don't have that information. People call all the time asking for it, and I still have not figured out what to tell people. So if anybody knows that, please let me know. but what we do is we have figured out that the space is better used as a space that we can all use, instead of this is your plot and this is my plot and then this is somebody else's plot. It's all everybody's plot. It's all everybody's space to enjoy. So that's the green space part of it. We also in this space have we have programs for kids to teach them where food comes from. And so we have a couple that are on site programs for kids, garden-based teaching, learning, experiential learning programs. And then we have one that's off site at Head Start, which is at the old Walker Grant School, just right behind Downtown Greens. And with these programs, the ones that we have on site are called the Youth Farm Program and the Youth Garden Club. And the Youth Garden Club is for kids that are 0 to 8 years old with a caregiver.
Okay.
And then the Youth Farm Program is 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders. And the Youth Garden Club, the Little Kids Club, I like to call it. They probably wouldn't like that. But the Little Kids Club is it's an hour once a week, and it's pretty unstructured. Let me go back. It's not unstructured. It's structured in the way that the kids arrive. We have a little song. They do a little activity, but it's not as structured as our big kids club. We always provide a healthy snack, and also both of these programs are completely free to all participants. The big kids club is an hour and a half once a week, and we see the kids. We start them out with a healthy snack. A lot of them are really, really hungry at 4 o'clock, 4:30 when they get off the bus.
Yeah.
So we always start with that. Makes for an easier way to hang out together and learn. And then we do a garden-based activity. Either we're planting or we're weeding or we're harvesting from the garden. And there's sometimes an activity that's either based on water conservation or trees or beneficial insects or something else garden related. And so that's the weekly meeting part of the Youth Farm Program. And then we have another aspect that we called family dinners. And once a month, the kids will, with the help of a chef from town, will create this meal with food from their garden in our kind of basement kitchen that we have here, and they'll serve it to their parents. So their parents, their siblings, whatever family members come. We have grandmas and aunts and uncles. Hmm. And we have a big meal in the back of our building. There's kind of a courtyard. And so we set up tables and the kids put tablecloths down. We have real like cloth napkins and real plates and real forks. And the kids set the tables, and then we pick flowers from the garden and make these beautiful centerpiece bouquets. The kids do this all. We're teaching them about setting this table and then welcoming their families to this table. And then there's the food that they've cooked. And so this food, not only did they cook it, but they also grew the food. So we have these kids that are, 10 years old eating Swiss chard and loving it. And it's just beautiful because you see them sit beside their parents and they're enjoying this meal with their parents. Some of these kids have never eaten with their parents. They eat, separate from their parents.
Mm-hmm.
There's, so it's a really beautiful time where you see the pride that the kids have on their face when they're showing and telling about the vegetables and about the process that they, the cooking that they did with their with the chef. It's beautiful.
Boy, and to have to, in this time, to have to suspend all of this, I know just, yeah. just would break your heart because you got a great program.
This is one of the highlights, really. The community, the family dinner is one of the highlights of this program for all of the staff here, because it's really kind of the culmination of, you know, of these kids having grown the vegetables and then being able to share it with their families. It's just a really beautiful moment that, that you know, it's just, it's hard. Yeah, like you said, it's really hard to miss that right now.
Yeah, just have to suspend everything and to do that just because as you tell those stories, you just think of what you're teaching these kids and how, you know, who knows down the line, you know, as they grow up and want to have their own garden and all the different things that all the various skills that you're teaching these kids.
Yeah, and we also I didn't even mention the third kind of arm of this of the youth farm program, the Big Kids Club. So we have the weekly meetings, we have the family dinners, but then the third aspect is we take them to the farmers market, and we have a farm stand that is youth led, and they are there selling the food that they've grown, the products that they've made with the food that they've grown. And so that is a really great time when we see the kids kind of blossom. If we watch them from the very first market to the very end market, it's beautiful to see because they're speaking to adults more easily. They're able to do the math that it takes to give change or to calculate a weight and a price for potatoes or something like that. And you watch that process, and that is a really beautiful thing to watch too. And so those are some more skills that we're trying to impart. We're trying to impart the entrepreneurial skills, the communication skills, the just, you know, being polite when not everybody is polite back to you, that kind of thing. So that's another really fun part of this program.
You do. I know you've got these youth programs. Do you do anything or offer anything for adults?
So we every now and then we'll have a workshop series. We've had lots of workshops over the past, especially over the past few years. But anything from like we had a kimchi making class, we had a mushroom log making class where people inoculated logs with mushroom mushroom mycelium, sorry. And we had a rain barrel making class, we had just like a weed walk, we had some weed walks and other herbal classes. Currently, we obviously are not having many classes, but we've also done making preserves or kind of canning classes, and that's something that I think we'll definitely be doing more of. But if anybody's interested in this specific thing, let us know, and we'll see if we can find someone to host. Or if you would like to host a class here, we work with different it's not us giving the classes most of the time. It's mostly people from the community who have a gift or have a piece of knowledge that they want to share. So we're very open to partnering with our community members on that.
And I guess the best way to get a hold of you is just go to downtowngreens.org, and you can find all the contact information there.
Yeah, and you can also, our email is downtowngreens@gmail.com. So you can always email us there.
downtowngreens@gmail.com. You also showed me a great thing, and I guess this is something new, the Take What You Need Community Solidarity Plot.
Yes. So we, since we are not able to meet with our kids, we're doing a couple things differently this year. We are still growing the food garden that the kids would normally be growing. It's a 3,500 square foot vegetable garden that we're we're still going to maintain and grow. And so we're going to be taking boxes to our participants or our would-be participants and their families, vegetables that they would have been taking home. Because we, every time we see the kids, we try to send food home with them. Whatever's ready to be harvested, we'll send home with the kids. And so we're still going to be doing that. But then, like you said, we started this additional plot that is right near the bus stop that's on our property in the Upper Garden. And it's called the Take What You Need Community Solidarity Plot. And this is another vegetable garden that is open to everybody. We have a sign that's going to be printed in four different languages just for any neighbors who are in need of additional food. We will have some food in there for anyone.
Wow. Really, the more you kind of drill down here and talk about Downtown Greens, you see why it's so loved by many, and just the impact that you're having, and you just kind of you can't wait till some of this gets lifted and you can get back to doing what you do.
Yeah, we really are missing our kids. We're missing the community aspect. Although we do get to see, we've actually seen maybe more people come through just casually come through the garden than we would normally, and we're very grateful for that part of that. And I've heard a lot of people come through who have never been through. It's something that's been on their bucket list. It's been on their list of things to do, and they've heard about it, or they've talked to one of us about it, and they just haven't had the time to come through the garden. And they come through for the first time because some of us have more time than we used to. And I'm getting some great, some great feedback on just the space, and it's fabulous to see new people in the garden, and some people who say that this is going to be a regular stop on their weekly walk or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a stop for me because I did not know about the lower garden, and it's a great spot. DowntownGreens.org, the website. Sarah Perry here, the executive director. When we come back, we're going to wrap this up and talk again about the Fork It Over Festival and how it is taking place this weekend, 1 to 4, Facebook Live. We'll do that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Shubel.
Great stuff this morning. Sarah Perry with Downtown Greens is with us. DowntownGreens.org, the website. Boy, I know when I was here the other day, Sarah, it's you, and you've got volunteers there. You've got staff people, and you're all still working and keeping everything going.
Yes, we have an amazing staff, and I couldn't be happier with the folks that we have here. We have had a few volunteers that have taken all the precautions, and we're very thankful for any volunteers that have come recently, even though we're not having our regular volunteer hours. If you would like to volunteer, send us an email and we'll get back to you. We want to just make sure that there aren't too many people and make sure that we can keep our distance and be safe out here. My team is great. So the garden coordinator is Jeanette Carrux. Janet Doberly is our program coordinator. And Marianne Tokarts is our administrative coordinator. So we are a very small team. And so I make four, and we're a very small team, and we've all been working really hard to try and get the youth farm program garden up to snuff. While we don't have kids here, we're redoing the whole garden to make it easier to garden in and also easier maintenance-wise. And we also have added raised beds so that we can include some older adults or some people with with differing abilities into the garden space as well. So we're excited to unroll those programs when everything gets back to normal.
Well, it looks terrific, and the more you learn about it, I mean, we've said a number of times, we're really fortunate in that part of town to have Downtown Greens as a place to go, whether it's the Upper Garden or the Lower Garden. The Fork It Over Festival is something that I know I was telling a couple of people that you were going to be on, and they were so excited, and they said, are you going to talk about the Fork It Over Festival? So this is something that people know about, and this Saturday, people can take part virtually.
Yes, virtually on Facebook Live, and if you go to our homepage, our Facebook page, there will be a link, the live broadcast will be linked on our Facebook page, but it's from 1 to 4 p.m. this Saturday, the 16th, and we're really excited to have a lot of wonderful local music happening, and we're also going to have some nostalgia that we're going to show, and we're going to have some, we have a funny little commercial that we're shooting. It's really funny. Pete Morelowicz of Print Jazz wrote the script for this, and we have a local family who's going to be our actors, and we have a really funny commercial that will debut during the Fork It Over Festival.
Okay, again, it's Saturday from 1 to 4, and a little bit earlier you went down the list of the musicians. Many of them are well known in this area, and it's going to be a good time, and especially if the Fork It Over Festival is something that has been always part of your regular spring routine, you're continuing it even now. And again, it's also a fundraiser. Don't forget about Downtown Greens, because you continue on even though right now you've had to kind of put a stop to some of the programs you do. But financially, there are needs.
Yes. And we actually we're not seeing the kids, but we are diligently working on programming that we will put up virtually for the kids. So we're working on little lessons that we're putting out to all of our participants and even the schools that are garden-based learning. So we haven't stopped working with kids, even if we don't actually have the kids with us.
Whether it's the Youth Farm Program, the Youth Garden Club, the Take What You Need, a Community Solidarity Plot, lots of stuff going on, or just want to just walk around the lower or upper gardens, it's a great place. And again, downtowngreens.org is the website. And you said if people want to send you an email, it's downtowngreens@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's it.
Well, it's great that the Fork It Over Festival, because so many people do look forward to that and mark it off on their calendars, and that you're doing it, and that everything continues on and just waiting for things to lift, and you'll be ready, you and your staff, to continue on.
Yes, that's it. We're doing everything we can to get ready for the big back to normal. Although I'm not sure how normal it'll be. I think we're all adapting right now.
We are.
The new normal.
We certainly are. But someday we will be able to get back to doing a lot of these things, and look forward to it. Sarah, great to have you on. I look forward to the day when we have guests in studio and you can come in and bring some of your staff, or you come and we'll just talk about we'll talk about Downtown Greens more, because just some really, really exciting stuff. Again, the Fork It Over Festival, 1 to 4 this Saturday on Facebook Live, downtowngreens.org, the website. Sarah Perry, thank you for being on. We will stay in touch.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
That is it for Town Talk. Thank you for listening. We will see you in the morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.